Thank you. Good morning.
Good
morning. It's fabulous to be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. And first and foremost, I'd like to say a huge thank you to you as a church for your support of the work of MAF, both your financial giving and your prayers that are so important to us as an organisation. And I know already spoken to so many of you today who also support and pray for this work. So massive thank you to that. Thank you also for the support you give to Alistair and Anna Urin, who are serving with us in South Sudan. And I know Alistair was here in the summer, and they really appreciate your prayers and support. You may well know that it's been a challenging time for them in the last 9 or 10 months. They're in South Sudan when they were in preparation for that in Kenya. Alistair, whilst he was not flying the aircraft, but in one of the aircraft, blanked out, passed out. That meant that we had to bring him back for various tests with the medical guys. There was no medical reason why that should have happened, but what it did mean, because of the license issue, was that he was unable to effectively fly solo, being the only pilot in an MAF aircraft for 9 months, so which was quite difficult for him.
He's a pilot. Oh, there we go. he's a pilot, and is that okay? Excellent. Thumbs up from the back is always good. He's a pilot, so that was quite challenging for Alistair to actually be office based and desk based for 9 months. Praise God, a few weeks ago, he was able to fly again solo. So he is now back flying the MAF aircraft in South Sudan. So we praise God for that, and please do continue to keep him and the family in your prayers. Just a couple of things also before, I forgot to do this at the earlier service, and Roger said to me, "You didn't say that." Rightly so. Rightly so. And huge thanks to Roger for all he does, because not only does he sort of is a representative here in the church, but also in the area. So he goes around speaking to various groups, as you probably know, in churches, about the work of MAF. So thank you for that, Roger. If you don't know much about MAF, you'll know a little bit more in a moment or two, but if you don't and you would like to know more, scattered around the church are these little cards here, and if you open them up, there's a chance to sort of pop some details there. We would love you to come on a journey with us, a journey that will last 1 year, and will enable you to know more about the work of MAF. We would love to send you 5 mailings, no more, no less, 5 mailings. The first one is on South Sudan, actually, that would come through. Each of them are to do with a country that MAF is flying in, and they give you information about the work we're doing there, the partners we're flying, areas for you to pray for, and just gives you more information on what MAF is doing in those countries. At the end of the year, at the end of 5 mailings, we leave it up to you to tell us if you would like to continue to get further mailings. So it's a great way of you actually getting to know a little more about MAF, but not getting something for the rest of your life coming through the post, which you may or may not want. I hope you do, because it's really good stuff, but you may not. And finally, before we get on to what I'm going to say, it struck me actually that Christmas is coming. I like Christmas as well. The shoeboxes are amazing, and one of the things that MAF does is work with so many partners, so many different organisations around the world. These small aircraft that we have fly other organisations and their staff and their cargo around the world. And one of the organisations that we support all across the world is Samaritan's Purse. And so at Christmas time, we become very busy with shoeboxes. And it's not unusual to see an MAF plane literally filled up with shoeboxes that have come from Samaritan's Purse. And absolutely right, the lady you said received them from Bulgaria, all around the world. The joy on the faces of adults and children in remote places around the world, when they get given a shoebox, is such a privilege to witness. So I would certainly encourage you, if you are able to, just put together one of those boxes. You make such a difference. You will be an incredible blessing to somebody somewhere in the world. So please, that's a great thing to get involved with. Nearly 75 years now. Next year, 75 years it will be since God spoke to three men here in the UK. Stuart King, Murray Kendon, who was a New Zealand pilot, Stuart, who was a Welsh engineer, and Jack Hemmings, who was also a pilot. Served in the Second World War, during the Second World War in the RAF. God spoke to them at the end of the Second World War quite clearly about using aviation to reach the most isolated people around the world. And it was Jack that he spoke to first, Jack Hemmings, and with the help of Mildmay Centre, a Christian charity at the time, Dr. Cochrane, who headed that up. Jack came and said, "This is what I feel God is calling me to do, to reach out in love to the most isolated people in the world, to support the missionaries that are working out in the developing world." And then Stuart came a little bit later. Stuart sort of was a bit harder to convince, as sometimes we often are when God calls us to do something. Stuart couldn't decide whether to sign up for the RAF again or whether to go with this MAF, which at the time was one man with no plane. So that was a bit of a challenge, and he thought about it, and he spoke to an awful lot of Christian friends, and as he said at the time, a lot of those Christian friends said, "Well, pray about it," which, as Stuart said, is the Christian way of saying, "I don't know." And he eventually decided to go and join up with these guys at the time. And actually, then there was three men with no plane. But then the aircraft, first MAF aircraft, came through the help with John Lang, actually. John Lang, PLC, you may have come across, who supported MAF in the early days. And that was the start of this organization that today has 135 aircraft flying in over 27 countries throughout the world. Every 4 minutes an MAF plane lands or takes off somewhere in the world, taking help, hope, and healing. Taking the good news of Jesus through word and through deed. And it's the deed that actually we read about in the scripture that we heard read to us just now. There are billions of people on this planet. Nearly 2 billion of them are desperately, desperately poor. 1 billion of them are hungry. And many of them live in isolated places around the world. Many of them in need of the love of Jesus, but unable to reach it. People such as the Moi people, the Moi tribe in Papua, Indonesia, a tribe that up until 2000 were actually unreached, a tribe that lived in an isolated part of Papua. Stephen and Carolyn Crockett, missionaries working with translators. Missionaries actually felt the call of God on their lives to go and reach the Moi people. When they got there in the year 2000, MAF were able to fly them part of the way. Not all the way to where this isolated community were, but part of the way. Stephen and Carolyn say, and we were speaking to them only 3 weeks ago, they are still there now, 19 years later. They say in those early days when they went on to live amongst this group of people, this community, they went there with no real medical training. They went there with some basic first aid training. They went there with some basic tropical medicine training. But there was no medical help in the community there. They went there as the only outsiders, the first outsiders to reach this isolated community of people. It was not unusual for them to get a knock on the hut door in the middle of the night and parents to be there holding their child to say, "My baby is dying." But they were there because that's where God called them, to this community of people, to show the love of God to them. In 2008, MAF were able to build a landing strip right into the village, right into that community of the Moy people. And whilst we'd been supporting Stephen and Carolyn in whatever way we could for the first 8 years, suddenly that support just opened up. We were able to fly in building materials. There is a clinic there now in that community. A clinic that is staffed by Christian doctors and nurses, offering proper medical help to the Moy tribe. There's a little school that's been built. And we're able to fly into that community Christian teachers who are able to give an education to the young children in that community for the first time ever. There is a church that has been built also. But Stephen and Carolyn's main calling to those people was to translate the gospel into their language. And they are now in a position that they're starting to translate the New Testament to not only bring God's word in obedience, to not only bring God's word in deed, but also to bring God's word in word. Those translations have now gone off and are now being printed. It won't be long before, for us as an organization, we will be able to fly for the first time the New Testament into the Moy people in Papua, in Indonesia, where they can open it up and read of God's love for the first time. Just across the border, if you like, in Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, it wasn't long ago, probably about 10 years ago, we first linked up with Gerhard and Brigitte Stam. Gerhard and Brigitte had worked in Papua New Guinea as missionaries when we met them for the last 15 years. Gerhard, incidentally, went to be with his Lord only a month ago. When we first met them, they told us an amazing story. They were reaching out to a tribe of people called the Bikaru tribe. They'd been working in a mission station at the base of a huge mountain range for many years. When they first went there, they went there to take over from an elderly missionary who had been there for 30 years. They spent 2 years working alongside him before it was time for him to retire. About a year before he retired, Gerhard was standing outside this mission station, looking up at this mountain range with this missionary, and said to him, "Does anybody live up there?" This elderly mission gentleman who'd been there for 30 years said, "No one lives up there. It's just animals up there. No one's up there." About 6 months or so after the missionary left, Gerhard was standing outside on that same spot, pretty much, outside his mission station, when he heard a rustling, and out of the trees came two, well, he described, the Stone Age-looking men. With the help of his translator, who was in the community where the mission station was, he asked them where they'd come from. And they turned and looked up at the mountain and pointed and said, "We came from up there." This was only a few years ago. A tribe of 120 people, the Bikaru tribe, a tribe that had not been reached by any outsiders before. When Gerhard managed to get them, and it took him 4 days to actually walk back with these men back to the tribe, When he got there, he found a tribe that had been decimated through tribal fighting, tribal war. Their belief was if they met another tribe, they killed them. That's why there was only 120 of them left. So he started to engage with them. He started to work with them. We were able to build a landing strip that was able to get within 20 minutes of where this community were. This tribe were also engrossed in evil spirits. So they believed at night their homes lived on stilts. They had homes that were on stilts. And at night they would build, and this may sound strange, but they would build fires underneath the homes. Because that would actually, in their belief of the time, the light would keep the evil spirits away. So at night when you went into this community, this village, it was lit up with all of these fires underneath the homes that were up on stilts. Gerhard and Brigitte have been working hard with these people. If you go to that village now, 80% of the village at night is in darkness. It's in darkness because 80% of that community have given their lives to Jesus and know that they do not need the light under their house to keep the evil spirits away. They've got the hope of Jesus in their life. One lady came to Brigitte and said, one night, she said, I can't sleep at night because as soon as I close my eyes, I see the pictures of the other women that I have killed in my life. And Brigitte prayed with her there and then, led her to Jesus. And from that moment she slept every night. And MAF were there to support them. That four-day walk, there was that initial walk for Gerhard from his mission station, is now a five-minute flight in an MAF plane. That's the difference the aircraft are making around the world. But you know, if you talk to Alistair and you talk to anyone else in MAF, we get a little bit excited, as Stuart did in those days, 75 years ago, a little bit excited about aircraft. We seem to be a bit of aviation freaks. And we love the landing strips and we love the aircraft and we got engineers who love tinkering around with them. But you know, Stuart said that when God called them into this work, it wasn't the aircraft that excited them. It wasn't tinkering with aircraft. It wasn't landing strips on the sides of mountains out in Papua New Guinea or anywhere else that excited them. It was reaching lost people with the good news of Jesus. And today in MAF, that is exactly the same. You know, the aircraft we have, the technology we have, is simply the tools that God has given us, the tools that God has put in our hands. And this scripture that we heard from in Matthew speaks about the judgment at the end. It speaks about the sheep and the goats. It speaks about the sheep actually effectively going to spend eternity with the Lord and the goats going to hell. The interesting thing about this scripture is if you can picture it, it's talking about a shepherd going through the flock, going through the herd, if you like, the flock, and actually separating sheep and goats. And you would think it would be fairly easy. It's not, as Andrew shared earlier this morning as well. Actually, in the Middle East, it's very the sheep and the goats look very similar. It's even hard for a shepherd to tell the difference until he gets up close. And there's certain characteristics that actually enable him to tell the difference between sheep and goats. And in a way, that's what's coming out here. Because we're, in a sense, what we have here is people, humanity, all looking the same. dare I say, even in our churches sometimes, everybody looks the same. They say dogs look the same, owners look the same as their dogs sometimes, don't they? I haven't got a dog, so I can say that. But everybody looks the same. And Jesus talks about the once he separated the sheep from the goats, the sheep go to spend eternity with him. And he says to them, and he says, you're blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you. And then he says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And these righteous sheep think, scratch their heads and think to themselves, well, I don't remember doing that. And Jesus says, tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You know, there's, as I said, 2 billion people that are desperately poor. 1 billion are desperately hungry on this planet. Many of them live in isolated communities to be reached by MAF. Many of them live in jungles. Some of them curl up in cardboard boxes to stay warm at night on our streets. Some of them, certainly where I live in the Midlands, manage to get sleeping bags and nestle down in the doorways at night. You see, MAF exists to reach those in the other parts of the world. But what Jesus is calling us here is that we all have as Christians, we have a responsibility to reach out to those as well, which we do through our prayers. But he doesn't call each of us and every one of us to go to South Sudan, to go to Papua, to go to Papua New Guinea. But what he does call each and every one of us to do is to show the kindness to those that are around us. And what does he ask us to do? He asks us here in the scripture to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to show hospitality to the strangers, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, and to visit the imprisoned. Jesus is describing simple acts of mercy and care that we can all perform where we are today. Our mission field is not necessarily in South Sudan, in South America. If we are here today, our mission field is here. This is where God has put us today. And please don't think that what Jesus is saying here is that actually to get to heaven, to spend eternity with him, we have to do good deeds, because that's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying here is actually that because we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by the grace of Jesus, because we accept him as our Lord and Savior, through what he has done on the cross, when he died on the cross for us, then these deeds will come out. The Holy Spirit, Roger prayed in his prayer, the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, by that fruit, simply by that fruit within us, that kindness will come out. The point is, when we accept Jesus as our Lord, we give everything, our heart, our time, our life, not just to one another, but to Christ. God's people will love others because we have to, because he first loved us. And those good works will result from our relationship with the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And true followers of Christ will treat others with kindness, whether they are in Papua, whether they are in Papua New Guinea, whether they are in South Sudan, whether it involves an aircraft, or whether it involves just reaching out of our door to somebody who is in need in our community. So MAF exists to take the love of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, the love of Jesus through word and deed. And I guess the challenge today, as we think about mission, and it's important that we all pray and support the work of missionaries around the world, but I guess as we think about mission, the challenge today is that God has put us here and this is our mission field. And are we prepared to show the love of Jesus through word, which sometimes is the easier bit, and through the hardest bit, through deed, to those in our community?